See me, like when I'm praying after the message, I'm going to say amen, and you're going to look up and you're be like, where's Josh? I'm actually going to be in the hall running with my new shoes on, and I'm going to be like, dude, I'm out, peace. No, I'm just joking. I'll give them back afterwards. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the stage, okay? We are starting today. We're back in Matthew. We're back in our series with Matthew, but what we're going to be doing is today we're starting what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Possibly, actually, I'm going to venture out to say it is the greatest set of teachings ever in the history of the world. Like, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm being very, very serious. This is an incredible time when Jesus is teaching his disciples and what we read is a crowd of people. And this is like Jesus's thing. This is like his corner. This is his teaching. And everything else that he says and does revolves really around what he teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. So here's why I'm excited about it. Because what we're going to dig into is what I believe to be life-changing for you and for me, like today, like now, like still. And so I really hope over the next couple months that you guys will come in here on Sunday mornings, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to do some fun things, but really come in here with the hopes of being, and this expectation of like, okay, God, I'm open to whatever it is you're going to do and teach us, and I have no idea what it is, but I'm just open to whatever it is, because I believe that this teaching is life-changing. Changing still. So I hope and pray that you guys are open to that. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray and then we are going to jump in. If you have a cell phone right now is a really good time to put it on vibrate. And unless your Bible's on it, then you can totally keep it out and do that whole thing. But if you have a cell phone, you can just put it on vibrate and throw it in your pocket. And I promise it'll be there at the end and it'll still work and all that. I promise. I've tried it before. I've tested it. It works. All right? I've done it. So let's pray. God, you are so good to us. Thank you that just the privilege of being able to meet on a Sunday morning, that we can come here and we can, as a group, we can sing and worship and have fun. And God, really just pray that right now during this time that you would teach us, that your spirit would be here and guiding and teaching and changing and transforming in a way that only you can. So God, we give you the next few minutes and just ask that you would do all of that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the deal. With a group this size, we all walk in here with our own baggage, right? We all walk in here with our own ideas, our own concepts based on our experiences and things that we've experienced in life and family and friends and all that. And that includes our idea of who Jesus is. So all of us walk in with some sort of a picture, some sort of a mental picture of who Jesus is. Now, some of you might walk in and you like have no idea, right? You're like, dude, my friend dragged me here. I don't really have any idea who Jesus is or what this is all about. I just know that sometimes when my dad's really angry, he says Jesus' name a lot. Like, that might be the extent of your knowledge of Jesus. Or you might walk in here and be like, man, I grew up in church and I've heard Jesus' name for 12 years. And I was baptized when I was 3 and I started leading people to the Lord when I was 5. And I don't know what your experience is. But you might be in here and we have all sorts of different ideas of who Jesus is, right? And I think as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we're really going to learn a lot about who he is and what it is he exactly taught, what it is he called his disciples to, and most importantly, how that affects our lives today and how we live that out. But what I wanted to do is I had a video for you guys. This video, it's funny. I don't believe it to be true. I think it was meant to be funny. But this might be true for some of you guys and how you believe Jesus is and what he is like. And if this is how you think he is, I'm just going to say, it's not accurate, but it's funny. Anyway, so let's watch this video real quick. Okay, I love those videos. It's funny. Maybe that's your image of Jesus, is that he's just waiting for us to mess up. And he's just waiting to be like, so Josh, totally saw what you did yesterday. Hey, I noticed how you played that mean trick on Ethan and then you laughed and that wasn't funny. And maybe that's the image you have of Jesus in your head, is that he's just waiting, or God even, of just to just be like, boom, sinner, boom, 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 boom. And I don't think that that's an accurate picture, and I think we're going to learn a little bit about that as we go through this Sermon on the Mount. In fact, what Jesus does time and time again is he takes what might be popular thought, or what in our culture or in the culture of his time, what might be a popular thought, and what he does is he takes it and he flips it upside down. He says, you think it's this way, but really it's this way. And constantly he's taking these ideas and flipping them upside down. And so that's why I'm really excited about the Sermon on the Mount, because throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he's going, yeah, you know what? You probably think it's like this, but boom, it's not actually. It's like this. And so here's what I want to do. I want to do a couple things. I want to read through. Today we're just going to talk about one of the Beatitudes. The section that we're going to be in for the next couple weeks is called the Beatitudes. And today we're just going to read through one of them. But what I want to do as an intro to the Beatitudes is I'm going to read all of them. I'm going to read through the first 12 verses of chapter 5 in Matthew. And then we're going to come back and we're going to learn a couple things that I think is important for us to know about the Sermon on the Mount. And then we're going to talk about the first one. So if you have your Bible, open to Matthew 5. If you do not have a Bible, please come see me afterwards. I'm going to give you one. I'm even going to write your name in it. I'll probably try to spell it right too. And I'll just be like, hey, too, like blah, 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 blah. And it's yours to keep forever. If you have a Bible at home under your bed and it's just collecting dust, go home and like grab it and do that. And then you can bring that next week. All right, here we go. We're going to read 5:1-12. And then we'll come back and see what we can learn from it. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, this is the upside down part. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, so Jesus comes out and he gives these blesseds, the Beatitudes. And he says, these are the people that are blessed in the kingdom of heaven. A couple things, though, before we get into that. I want you to understand, good to know when knowing about what Jesus is doing, what's happening. Little mental picture. He's sitting in front of the Sea of Galilee, right? He goes up on the side of a mountainside. He's got his 12 disciples. And he says, come, disciples, come around me. He sits down with the 12 disciples, right? It says he sat down. He sits down with his 12 disciples. And then there are crowds of people around listening. Now, something to know. When a rabbi in this time, when a rabbi would sit down, that was a sign that what he was about to teach is very important. This is actually things that he says, here are some truths that you need to know. Okay, so that's opposite of what we're used to, right? I'm teaching right now, so I'm standing up. I'm making sure I'm tall. I'm ahead of all you so you can all look up at me. I'm like, yeah, what's up? Hey. Teaching. And this, totally different. In the Jewish time, what would happen when they were teaching, if Jesus was walking around talking to his disciples and he's talking and standing, he's telling them things and talking probably and saying, hey, here's some good things to know. Here's some good life lessons. But when he wanted to teach something that was very imperative for them to know, the rabbis in that culture would sit down. Now, would this be awkward for us? If I'm like, you guys, let's teach. Open your Bibles. And I sat down and I began to teach like this. You'd probably, because of what we're used to, you'd probably be like, wait, this is weird. What's he doing? I can't see him. I can hear him, though. Where is he? Right? It might be weird for you guys. Like, what's going on? But in this time, it says right there in the first verse, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. Okay. just good for us to know that. Why? Because what he's about to say is very, very important. Very important stuff, what he's about to say. Another good thing to know, and that's totally different from our culture, is when Jesus is teaching, he's not teaching the crowds so that they would get this knowledge filled in their head, so that they would become really smart people. His goal was not to teach him so that, I sat under Jesus' teaching, I am so smart now, I'm going to go off and I'm so smart. Like if we were to come in here and we're just to learn and go out. Kind of like we do at school, right? How many of you guys need to know knowledge? Like the goal of your school is to get, like, you're in science class, you're like, oh my gosh, I have this test tomorrow and I've got to get all this knowledge in my head and I've got to keep it there. And so you go home at night and you have a big test tomorrow and you study and you memorize and you get it and you're like, ah, I know it. And then you go to school tomorrow and you do a test and you get a 98% and you're like, yeah, woohoo, boom, what up? And then the next day, if you were to go back and you get the exact same test, you get like a 60. Because you've let all this knowledge get in your head, right? And you're like, I just got to keep it for 12 hours. And you get it, and then you forget it the next day. Because sometimes the point of us learning is so that we just get knowledge. But Jesus in this moment is not teaching for that purpose. What he's teaching for and the things he's about to say are meant to actually change the way people live right then. So when they're listening to him, he's actually speaking words that are supposed to be life-changing, life-transforming in that moment. So this Sermon on the Mount is life-changing. Jesus is like, the things I'm about to say are more than just knowledge and bits of knowledge for you to know. This is actually supposed to change who you are and how you live. Okay, good for us to know, right? Okay, so number one, what he's about to say is very important. Number two, this is supposed to be life-changing. Number three, what he's saying, because he lists off those things, and I said, you know, I listed them off. I said, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, all those things. What we might be able to do in our head is we read that list, and we actually make that a list of, oh, okay, I've got to do these things in order to be a Christian, in order to have salvation, and we turn that into a list of works that we do. So it's like, oh, wait, okay, wait. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay, I gotta get poor in spirit. Okay, poor in spirit. Cool, okay, got that one down. Okay, pure of heart. Okay, I'm cool. And we make it a list of things that we actually have to do in order to gain salvation. Not the case, right? We are all saved by grace through faith. Okay, this is not a set of rules for us to follow. But this is Jesus talking to crowds saying, hey, here's some things that you need to know that are life-changing, but this isn't going to save you by trying to do these things. This actually is going to become who you are, not a list of rules to abide by. And the fourth thing that I want to know before we jump into what we're talking about today is that this is the really good news. So for you guys, I hope this is good news for you. What Jesus is about to say is actually for the crowds of people, the regular old people, the people that are there, not the religious elite of his day. So many times, in that time, in the time period when Jesus was, he was among this religious group of people that were very much about following rules and doing things by the book and memorizing things and keeping all these laws and doing this and that. And in their hearts, he called them actually at one point, he says, you are like a whitewashed tomb. You are dead inside because you're so concerned about looking good on the outside, but your heart is dead and rotting. And this message that Jesus is bringing is for the multitudes. It's for the crowds. The reason that there's a crowd there is because that there's a really good chance that these people that are gathering around Jesus on this mountainside have actually already seen him performing miracles. They've already witnessed him casting out demons. They've already witnessed him healing people. And these aren't the religious elite come and going. All right, Jesus, what can we learn from you? Because really, they didn't really like Jesus anyways that much. But Jesus was there going, no, this message, this is for everybody. This is for the regular old people. Just like us, right? We're regular old people. Well, I think you guys are really special. But we're just regular old people, really, right? We're not the religious elite. Like, if just by my job title, I might be called a professional religious Christian person just because I'm a youth pastor and this is my job. But really, I'm not. Okay? We're all in this thing together. We're all learning and being changed and transformed together. We're all in the same spot, really, of just trying to know God and have him change and transform who we are, right? We're all there. So this message is for us. This message is for you. If you would have been around 2,000 years ago, Jesus would have been like, hey, got some good news for you. Check this out. Okay, are we ready now? Couple, those were four things I just wanted to get out of the way. That's going to take us through the next few weeks. This is important stuff. Okay, this isn't about salvation. This is supposed to be life-changing, and this is for everybody. Okay, let's go to chat. Let's look at verse 3. Today we're just going to go one of the Beatitudes. Next week we're going to hit a few of them, but today we're just going to be in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, imagine this. If you're in the crowd, and all these multitudes are sitting around, and they're watching Jesus, and they're listening to him. And he comes out, and he says, very first thing he says, very first words out of his mouth, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's what I imagine happening. This is just Josh talking right now, okay? The Bible doesn't say this, but this is just Josh talking. Here's what I imagine, though. I imagine the crowds of people sitting around, and they hear Jesus say, blessed are the poor in spirit, and they're probably going, what did he just say? Did he just say what? I thought I heard him say that blessed are the poor in spirit. Is that, that's what you heard too? Hey, did you guys hear that? He said blessed are the poor. That's me. That's us. That's who. Oh, this is going to be good news. This is good. Because he's living in a time when really the messages usually were for the religious elite, the people that were very educated and knew everything and powerful. Not for the lay people. It's the very first thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I can only imagine sitting there going, yes, yes, this is good. You guys, this is going to be really good. He just said that the kingdom of heaven is for us. We've never heard that before. He just said that the kingdom of heaven is for us. Just normal old people that need God and have this deep, deep reliance on God. That's who the kingdom of heaven is for. What? This is good news. The poor in spirit, to be poor in spirit. This is what it means to be poor in spirit. Well, the word poor actually translates into actual, like, a poverty. It's not so much the poverty of if you have money or if you don't have money. If you have a big house or you don't have a big house. It's the same word, but that's not what it's talking about monetarily. What it's talking about is being poor. A poverty of the soul. A poverty of the spirit. A poverty of just brokenness. Of understanding that without God and without his actually loving and caring for us, we are completely, like, in trouble. Like, God, it's this idea that we come before God and we go, God, look, I've got nothing. I have nothing to offer you. I've got nothing. I just know I need you. Jesus is going, yeah, you. That's for you. The kingdom of heaven is for you. And so you probably, maybe some of us in here, I know this is true. Some of us walk in this room today and we've got a lot of baggage, right? Some of us walk in this room today and we have a lot of hurt. We've got pain. Some of us walk in this room today and we've got some pretty dark things that we don't want other people to know about. We've got some sin that's just kind of a way that we kind of keep hidden from most people and we don't want people to know about. But we walk in here and we're like, okay, I'm doing a really good job of keeping that at bay. And this darkness that I have, I don't want them to know about it, but I'm broken inside. I know it. I know I'm broken. And there's nothing I can do to go to this holy God and please him, right? There's nothing I can bring to God that's pleasing to him, especially because he knows about my brokenness and my sin and my darkness, and my junk, and my baggage. Some of you guys today come in with that. So some of us in this room are struggling with some things right now. We're doing things that we know we don't want to do, right? Maybe we're making bad decisions when we're home alone. We're on a computer. Maybe we're making decisions that when we're talking to our friends, we know we shouldn't be saying certain things about other people, but we're saying them anyways. Maybe we're just saying downright mean, hurtful things to people's faces. Maybe we're just making bad decisions that nobody else really knows about, that we keep to ourselves. Maybe our thoughts are just running rampant and it's not healthy and it's not good. Whatever it is, when we come in this room and we've got this baggage, it's this idea that we can come before a holy God and go, God, you know me. You know everything about me. And I've got nothing to bring to you. But I just know that I need you. I need you to change me. I need you to transform me. I know that you have this deep, deep, deep love for me and this desire for me to follow you and know your son. And it's in that moment, God's going, yes, yes, bring it. Bring that baggage. That baggage is why I sent my son to the cross to die for you. It's because I know about that. I know about those things. I know that's being crucified on the cross with my son. I know that. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Holy cow, what a great message for these crowds, right? Sitting there listening, going, whew, I can only imagine the very first thing Jesus says is like, oh, good news. He said that the kingdom of heaven is for us. And that's the message in the very first beatitude for you guys. The kingdom of heaven is for you. God sent his son on the cross to die for us because he loved us. And all he wants is, the truth is, we're all just broken people. And he just wants us to come before him and go, I got nothing. There's nothing I can bring you, God, that's going to satisfy. It's going to satisfy the fact that I've sinned against you. There's nothing I can do that's going to live up to the sin that I've caused, the separation I've caused between you and I. Nothing I can do. And God's going, I know. I did it. I took care of that. But the fact that we come to him just going, I'm broken. And I got nothing. That fact alone, he's saying, but yours is the kingdom of heaven. Gosh, what a great way to start off the greatest sermon in the history of the world, right? Like, what a great way. Like, I just can't imagine as he walks through the next three chapters of Matthew, that's the way he starts it off. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'd be like, yes, keep talking, Jesus. Keep going all day. Check this out. I bet you it gets better. Although he starts saying some things that just are like little daggers to the heart, like boom. Like, ah, I got to do that. Okay. That hurts, but okay, I'll try it. I'm in. Just wait till we get into like chapter 6. There's some hard things there, but I think it's going to be good. Because remember, the purpose that Jesus is teaching this isn't so that we get knowledge. It's not so we all walk out of here like, boom, got it memorized. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What up? Like, that's not the point of what today is, right? The point is we walk out of here going, holy cow, I am broken. I'm hurt. Oh man, I've got separation. I've got nothing to offer God, but he loves me and he cares about me and he died for me. Oh, that's good news. God, thank you for that. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's the good news. That's what's life-changing about this, right? That's what Jesus' purpose was. Let me change who you are and how you live. Go. Live in that. Understand that. We're all broken and in need of a Savior that loves us. That is good news. Here's what I want to encourage you guys to do. Over the next couple months, we're going to be in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you, if you can do this, like, try this week. I had to do, one time in one of my classes, I had to read an entire gospel, the Gospel of Mark, out loud without stopping, which took me like 2 hours. And I was by myself in my living room, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Kind of weird reading out loud to yourself when nobody's around, but it was awesome. Here's what I want you to do. You don't have to read out loud, although it's cool, but I want you guys to sit down and read Matthew 5 through 7. Three chapters of the Bible. Okay, three chapters without stopping. Get a little bottle of water next to you. Get cozy. Get all settled in. Put the phone away. Now, when he saw the crowds, and just start reading three chapters of the Bible. Take a little drink every once in a while. Get the, you know, good. Keep going. Like, how cool is that? The greatest sermon ever told right here. What if we really let this transform and change who we are? I know he's still using his word, and he's still here, and he's still active, and he's still changing and transforming lives. He wants to do that for you and for me today. So that's what we can do this week. All right, I'm excited. What a great way to start off the greatest message in the entire world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. God, you are good to us. What good news. Like me, it's a broken junior high pastor. And you say that if I can understand that I am in such need for your love and for your grace, there's nothing I can do. And yet you still love me. And for the kingdom of heaven is for people like me and people like us in this room. That is such good news, God. God, I am so excited for what you have in store for us through the next three chapters of this book. So excited about what we can learn about ourselves and about you through the Sermon on the Mount. God, I pray that you change us and transform us and that you continue this good news. And God, that we are challenged to live in a new way, not just walk out of here with a bunch of knowledge, but God, that we have a transforming experience with your word. God, thanks for that. Thanks for these students. Such a privilege for us to be here together, to be able to sit by each other and worship and listen and form these friendships with our peers and the adults in this room. God, thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.